The Chronicles of Prydain are a bit more juvenile than the other children's fantasy we've looked at, though I will note that at one point, the bad guys are burning captives alive in wicker cages, so it's not perhaps a thing to read to your five-year-old. But in the end, Alexander comes around with kind of a typically fantastic view that the good guys win, the bad guys are vanquished, and some people have to leave the country, and an assistant pig keeper becomes High King of Prydain. But what's particularly interesting about the Chronicles of Prydain is the loving depiction of the crafts that Taran tries, and even more importantly, Alexander's assertion about being true to oneself and Alexander's connection between performing a job with integrity and being a hero. This is a very much of a middle-class book in that sense. It's not about being born into heroicness. It's not about, like Will Stanton, being an old one. It's not even about the Chronicles of Narnia being the chosen children. It's about doing what's set before you, in that sense very much like Frodo the Hobbit, though I'll note that even Frodo has inherited some things from Bilbo. It's not clear whether you'd say that the end of the Chronicles of Prydain or the end of The Dark is Rising or the end of the Chronicles of Earthsea is the end of the golden age of children's literature in the 1970s, but it did seem to come to an end for a while. People assumed that fantasy had migrated from literature into things like video games, Dungeons and Dragons, and feature films. And for a while, there was kind of a gap in children's fantasy. But that changed in the 1990s when J.K. Rowling came along and published her Harry Potter books, which became the largest sellers in fantasy history, possibly larger sellers even than Tolkien, and certainly the creation of a franchise that had generated more money than any children's fantasy or maybe any other fantasy beforehand. It's too early to know whether Rowling will succeed artistically the way she succeeded commercially. And I don't mean to say that Rowling is necessarily second rate or because of her commercial success, she's not an artistic success. Just that the same way that you couldn't judge The Lord of the Rings until you had the scene at the crack of doom, you can't really judge the Harry Potter books until we get book 7 and find out how she closes this all up. I would say at this point that Harry Potter deserves a solid second ranking. Certainly it's in there with Lloyd Alexander, C.S. Lewis, some of those writers, if not quite up the level of Ursula Le Guin and J.R.R. Tolkien. Rowling's genius and what she brings to fantasy literature that really no one else has accomplished before, though Alexander tried to do it, is to bring humor into fantasy, to make fantasy funny, but not to treat it ironically or treat the fantasy itself and the story as a joke. Terry Pratchett does humor very well in his Discworld books, but you get the sense that Pratchett doesn't take the whole kind of cosmic significance of fantasy. He's reacting against that. Whereas Rowling, it's very clear that the fate of the world hangs on what Harry Potter does. But she's got bad Latin puns, she's got a good playoff of traditional school stories and what happens when people go to school. Going to Diagon Alley and purchasing the wizarding school supplies is very funny.